Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the UI Breakfast Podcast. I'm your host, Jane Portman, and today our awesome guest is Jonathan Courtney, CEO and founder of AJ and Smart, and we're going to talk about the design sprint today. This episode is brought to you by Abstract, design workflow management for product design teams using Sketch. Sign your team up for a free 30-day trial today by heading over to goabstract.com. And if you tweet at goabstract and UI Breakfast mentioning the show, you'll be entered for a chance to win a $500 credit to their business plan. Hi, Jonathan.
Hey, how's it going?
Doing great. Well, we are thrilled to have you as a guest today.
Yeah, and I'm excited to be here.
So before we dive into the main topic, tell us a little bit about yourself, about your agency, and how you got started with design sprints and using them.
Cool. So I'm the CEO of AJ and Smart, but my actual background for the last, at least what I've been doing for the last 8 years has been product design. So my job title changed like every year. It's like UX design, UI design, whatever it is at the moment. Today, the trendy way of saying it is actually product designer, I guess, it's always funny how quickly that changes and how often and how confusing it is to tell people what I actually do. So AJ and Smart has been running for the last 7 years. We're a 21-person product design studio in Berlin. And in September 2015, after reading a lot of these blogs from the Google Ventures team about design sprints, we decided to give that a try. And in March 2016, we decided to stop doing normal agency work and pretty much get rid of all of our clients and start from scratch using the design sprint process. And today... Yeah, that basically we grew from 4 people to 21 people since March 2016.
So essentially, almost all your agency lifetime has been working using this kind of process.
Well, I think we, out of 7 years so far, 3 years has been using the design sprint. Up until then, it was sort of more standard UX, UI design projects, like longer projects that go on for 6 months. Today, we do a maximum of 4 weeks with each client.
Well, let's start. What is the definition of a design sprint and why it is so important and useful for us designers, product designers, and studios and agencies?
So, well, one thing I'll just say straight away is that the design sprint, a lot of these processes and tools come out, and then a lot of people assume that that's the only thing you can use and that it's like a religion or something. But the design sprint is just a tool for a very specific part of a design process. And I'll get into that in a second. So basically what it is, it's a step-by-step system for bringing a group of people together near the start of a big project and getting everybody on the same page, creating a prototype, testing it with real users, and essentially having this project have a much cleaner start than most projects usually have. So it's every single step of the process is really specific, really cold, really logical. It's not like design thinking, which is very open, and you can kind of decide which exercises you should do, and you do a lot of prep work. The design sprint is very much a plug-in and play tool that you can use at the start of pretty much any big design project or product project, which is it's something that we've been that's pretty much what our agency does as well. The whole time we're just there at the very start and we don't do all of the execution work. And I guess the reason why we switched to it and the reason why we teach this to people and recommend people to have it in their toolbox is that I think a lot of UX designers and UI designers, even if they're excellent at, creating products, creating screens, and coming up with concepts, they're often not very good at dealing with large groups of people like clients or their own colleagues who are giving them the tasks. And there's often a lot of tension that builds up between designers and other people in the company when things get misaligned. So let's say, how it used to work for us in the past would be a client would come to us. They would say, hey, we want to do this new app. you know, it should be like this, 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 and this. Then we would do a little kickoff workshop with them. Then we would go away. We would work on it for a few weeks. Then we would come back and show it to them. And they would say, actually, we kind of want it like this, 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 and this. And actually, in the meantime, I also saw a cool thing online. And so now I also want that in there. And we would go away again and work on it and come back. And we would come back to them. And then they would say, they would forget the previous conversation. And they would say, oh, what is this card interface? What's the, I don't remember talking about that. And then I would say, oh, that's actually the thing you saw recently in the Tinder app and you liked it and you wanted to have that in there. And then they're like, oh no, I don't really like that anymore. And it goes on and on and on and on. And then it goes to the marketing team and they don't understand the product. And it's just this giant mess that builds up. And this was happening to us every time we worked on a project, even after running the agency for 4 years, working with some of the biggest brands in the world. We always had this problem. And that's where that started to change when we started the projects using the sprint process and bringing everybody together, getting them all on the same page before we start doing anything.
That sounds like a magic pill almost for any kind of project. I'm so thrilled to dive into the details of actual workflow. But before that, I think we should mention the actual sprint book and Jake Knapp that you are friends with and co-hosting a podcast with. Is that correct?
Yeah. So Jake is the guy who wrote the book Sprint. He's the guy who created the process within Google over the last few years. I think it was like 2014 and 15. He was working at Google and creating this process. And yeah, I teamed up with him in 2017. After kind of following him for quite a while and running sprint processes. And now Jake and AJ and Smart work together. We travel around, we teach people, we run a podcast together, we do sprints together with clients. And he's definitely, he's the guy who invented it all. He started it all. It's really great.
It's wonderful to have someone who is so close to the origins of this. Very thrilled. So the prerequisites are, how do you come, do you have any kind of prep work to do this kind of exercise for your clients? Or is it that you start with a totally blank sheet and the prep work is included in the actual process?
There's not a lot of prep work, which is very important. The process is supposed to be very lightweight. And the goal of it is to really, like you said, a lot of the prep work is built into the workshops that happen in that 1 week. At AJ and Smart, we do a little bit of prep work, maybe 2 hours before 1 week before the sprint, maybe 2 to 3 hours, just making sure that we have the right people from the client side coming to the workshop, actually interviewing them just so we kind of understand what their political situations inside in the company are. Because sometimes you can have the best product team in the world, but everything fails because you have a political situation that you didn't know about. So these are the things we try to understand before the sprint starts. You know, who are the troublemakers? Who wants what? What are the real reasons behind this product being made? That's most of the prep work done, but everything pretty much happens in the sprint itself.
You mentioned it works great for new products. Can it be applied to existing products to improve them?
Only if it's a big improvement. So the sprint is not something you use for small design changes. It's something you use if there's some huge new strategic direction that needs to happen for a product. For example, you can use a design sprint if a product is out there, has been out there for 2 years, and there's a huge problem with engagement. You know, people sign up for the app, but they also leave very quickly and then stop using it. If this is a huge problem, if this is a problem that the company says, this could destroy us if it doesn't work, and it could really make us succeed if it does work, then you can use a design sprint. So a design sprint should only be used for quite big problems or quite big challenges. Nothing like updating the navigation on a website.
Any kind of, you know, intermediary, like single feature redesign if it's an important feature, or not so much?
If the feature is, for example, we have worked with a lot of large companies where a feature might be something that could make them multiples of million or even multiples of $1 billion. if it's big enough, if it's a big enough problem. So for example, we've even run design sprints just to improve onboarding processes in apps. But again, these are big products that make a lot of money already, and a 5% increase in conversion rate could mean 50 million extra revenue. So really, it just depends on the scale of the problem. And especially, you basically need to run a sprint if it's something where you're going to need a lot of different people from a lot of different departments to give a thumbs up before the thing can exist. Because what you don't want to happen is that you're working on something like an onboarding and the product team is super happy with it and the developers are fine with it, but the strategy or marketing or sales don't agree. So, and then you're going to have that the whole project stopping for 3 months because of this political issue. So you can use a sprint if you feel like it's going to break through some of the political problems if you're in a very political company, even if it's a feature.
One more question. You mentioned it's going to include testing with live, with users,
yeah,
with real users. So where do you get these during the 4 days?
So at AJ and Smart, we essentially have a person who's a full-time user researcher and recruiter. And it's different every time. It depends what type of app or product it is. So if it's a simple B2C consumer facing app that a lot of different types of people can use, then often you can use Facebook ads to find people. Just put €100 into a Facebook ad, very targeted, and try to find some people, put them through a survey, and then call them and see if they're the right people. Sometimes if we've worked on projects, for example, we worked on a digital companion to a supercar that was being released this year. And the people who are buying the supercar were buying it for €600,000, meaning that they're not the type of people you can find on Facebook and give them a voucher. so these people,
definitely,
these are the type of people we needed help from the client to find and to access. One of these people was actually like a prince of a certain company, a certain country that a lot of people know of. So it was really, really difficult to get them. So it's a bit of detective work. You have to kind of get good at it. But essentially, most of the time, we're using Facebook ads. And if you go onto the AJ and Smart Facebook page, you often see these popping up on a Tuesday, because on a Tuesday, we're trying to recruit for the tests on Thursday.
Mm-hmm. Can you please give us an overview of the steps we'll be following during the sprint, like
Sure.
a typical sprint, and then we'll dive into the every single one.
Oh, wow. Okay. It's going to get detailed. So one thing I should also say is that today in 2018, as we're talking, the version of the sprint that we use at AJ and Smart is called the Design Sprint 2.0. A lot of the material that you will find online is Design Sprint 2.0. And all that means is it's just a few slight updates to the version that's in the book. Okay, maybe some pretty big updates from the version that's in the book. So the version I'm going to talk to you about right now is the version that myself and Jake teach when we travel and teach the design sprint process. And it's the one that we use when we run this with clients. So the big difference is that it is 4 days instead of 5 days. And it's not just to make it shorter. It's just that a lot of the exercises were a little bit too long in the book. When we started using them at AJ and Smart, we realized some of the exercises were just going on a little bit too long and the rhythm didn't feel right. So everything I'm telling you now is sort of relating to the Design Sprint 2.0. And you can find all of this online for free everywhere if you just Google it. So, okay, the Monday and the Tuesday is when the entire team is working together. This means for us that it's 3 people from the AJ and Smart team and 4 people from the client team. But if you're an internal design team at a company, it's like 3 designers or 2 designers and 1 product person, maybe a product manager, and then 4 people from other departments. For example, if it's a small company, it might be the CEO, could be a business owner of this product, could be someone from sales. This is something that you can kind of decide based on the sprint that you're going to be running. So in total, you have about 7 to 8 people in the room on Monday and Tuesday. And Monday and Tuesday are really the workshop days. They're the most intense days of the entire week. In the morning on Monday, you're trying to define what the actual challenge is and get everybody on the same page for what the scope of the project will be. Usually when a project starts, everybody has a different idea of what it's actually going to be in the end. And this is a great way to get everyone on the same page to figure out, okay, this is what we're actually working on. Not this, not this, not this. It's just this. This is what we're working on. So Monday morning is about getting everyone on the same page, everyone to agree what we're actually doing and setting the scope. Monday afternoon, everybody works alone. So that's one of the biggest, weirdest things about the sprint is that this together alone principle. So a lot of the workshop is not like a design thinking workshop where a lot of talking happens and a lot of discussion happens. Or also like pretty much every workshop you've ever been to or a kickoff workshop where everyone is talking and it's hard to like keep track of everything. The design sprint is really, really structured. Nobody is discussing things. Everything is happening one at a time. So the whole afternoon of the Monday, everybody is individually sketching and coming up with their own concepts for what direction they think this product should go in, or website, or whatever it is. And at the end of the Monday, we don't show these things to each other. We just stick these concepts on the wall. They're literally paper concepts. It's not paper prototypes, but we're trying to get an idea of, okay, so like this is what I think it should be. We stick those on the wall, and then on Tuesday morning we come back together and the entire team works for 3 hours going through lots of different rounds of voting and structured discussion to decide what are we going to take from these concepts and turn into a prototype. Then the Tuesday afternoon, we storyboard every single screen of the product out on the wall with the entire team. This is a horrible process that takes like 2 hours. It's very intense. But the great thing about it is that it's not just the designers creating the storyboard. The entire team, including the business people, are in there, including the people that might cause trouble later in the process. They are actually helping to create this, which means that they're not going to come back and say, oh, I thought we were going to do it like this or this or this. No, they actually do every single part of it with you. The entire team works on the storyboard. And it sounds like a nightmare for a designer to have all the business people in the room. But remember, this is just a way to get everybody to understand what we are going to create. This doesn't take any creativity away because you're still going to be doing all the design work yourself. But this is just going to help to get everyone on the same page and gain a lot of trust. Wednesday, the entire team goes away, except for the UX designer, or maybe two UX designers, and they're going to create a high fidelity prototype. So not wireframes, really a high fidelity prototype using Figma or Sketch and something like InVision and Marvel, so that it feels like the real thing by the end of the day. And they're working from the storyboard, so they don't really need to think at this point exactly what should it do if we do this. We're focusing on this one flow, one main story that we want to prototype out and get a few screens for. But you can have this can be quite complex. At this point, sometimes we have like 50 screens full of animations, and you can do this all in one day because everyone is aligned. So usually we have two people working on the prototype and then one person looking for the right users for the next day. Then on Thursday, we do the user tests, which is 5 user tests, 5 1-hour sessions, and we have the users go through the prototypes. And these tests are live streamed to the rest of the team. So to everybody else who is part of this project is watching the live stream. And what you get at the end of this Thursday is a feeling for if the project is going in the right direction or not. Now, usually, so that's pretty much what is at the end of the first design sprint, is that you have a high fidelity prototype tested with real users, and you have a pretty good idea of what's working and what's not working. And again, it's only a small amount of users. So of course, a lot of that is based on, this is kind of like the opinion that you have at the end. You have a better opinion. You're like, okay, I have a feeling that the onboarding was right, but this screen wasn't good. And I think we could do this and this and this. And then you actually do a second week, which is an iteration sprint. This is not specifically in the book, but it is mentioned. But it's actually, we do this every time. We never run one sprint on its own, because you always have so much data after the tests. And in the second week, you bring everyone back together for the Monday morning, give them the information about what the tests showed us, work again on a storyboard, update the storyboard so that we can redo the prototype or polish it and get it up to a much more realistic level, but also something that we think the users are going to like better. And we test again on the Thursday of that week. And usually what you have at the end of this Thursday is something that everybody can hold in their hands and say, this is what we want to make. This is the MVP of this product. This is the thing that we want to create all the screens for. Now, this doesn't mean that the product is done. It just means that the vision for the product is just clear to everybody. And now the UX designer and the developers, or the UX designers and the developers, can go away and actually create all of the screens for this app, you know, add the branding to it, whatever it is. And the people who usually cause the most trouble in these design processes, you know, your boss or the product managers or the business owners or the people who don't necessarily understand design, they're all chilled now. They feel like they've been part of it. They understand what the product is going to look like. There's no guessing, because it's not just drawings. It's something that they can hold in their hand and excitedly show to other people in the company. And at the end of those 2 weeks, you really have something that's very close to what can actually go on the market as well. And it's, yeah, we do this essentially at AJ and Smart. We're doing two brand new products, brand new clients every month. And we get to see these products coming out on the market pretty much every month as well. And it's just amazing how close to the real thing you can get to in 2 weeks if you don't have all of this bullshit and misalignment that happens on normal projects.
Sounds exactly like the ideal process. But I'm wondering, where did that originate from? I don't think we'll have time to dive into single one. But I'm very curious how, if that was Jake who came up with it, what inspired him to do that? To offer such kind of process for design sprints.
He was frustrated at Google because Google was a very engineering-led company. Engineers didn't trust designers, and the designers needed something that was a bit more cold and logical, not like design thinking, something more cold, logical, and testable. And so Jake started trying out a lot of different things, and the design sprint was actually what came out of it eventually. It was the thing that actually started to work. So essentially, the design sprint is, it's a one-week hackathon, basically. One-week hackathon with another week of polishing it up. And this is something that the developers actually started to enjoy because they got to see the products very quickly. For example, Google Hangouts, which is now called Google Meet, that was the first product that Jay created using the design sprint process. Then he went on to Gmail. I guess a lot of people know Gmail. And this was and this was just showing and proving internally at Google that you can systemize some parts of the design process. Especially if you're doing something big, and especially if you're doing something messy. So he created it out of frustration of working within Google in a very engineering-driven organization that just didn't necessarily trust design.
I have a question regarding phase A, sort of speaking. So what does happen on the second half of Monday? What people actually do. So if they all were designers, I would understand they would be working in it. But we have different kinds of people. So what exactly are they doing?
Okay, so it's a great question. Most of the people in the room are not designers. So there has to be a way to get people who even don't like to sketch to create something that we can use. So it's actually about three steps. There's three important steps for the afternoon. Actually, it's you could basically say it's two steps for the afternoon. Step one is an exercise called lightning demos. And in lightning demos, we ask every single person in the room to take 20 minutes to themselves to search around the internet, to search around all of the things that they like. Basically, their goal is to find other companies and other products that have solved similar problems to the types of problems that we are trying to solve right now. So essentially, we're trying to get them to do some real-time benchmarking. At the end of that 20 minutes, everybody presents their three, maybe two or three demos to the rest of the room. So for example, I might show Pinterest and say, well, here's a really great example of how wishlist building works in a product like this. And this could be interesting for us because blah, 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 blah. And everybody is doing that, including the people who've never done anything design related before. And the great thing about this is that you get to see if you're the designer in the room and your boss is also in the room or your client is also in the room, this is a rare moment to look at what they actually like. Because if you ask them what they like, they'll just tell you random things or they'll say, oh, that's your job. But if you don't ask them what they like, then it doesn't matter what you show them at the end. They, in their mind, subconsciously know about something that they want it to maybe look like. So maybe they just saw the new OS update for something, or maybe they've got this new app that their son showed them and they will want it to look like this. So this is at least a sneaky way to get people to reveal what sort of things they like, what sort of solutions they like. So that's the first section. The second section is called four-part sketch. So essentially, we're going to get everyone in the room to go from a blank page to an actual concept sketch that we're going to be able to use in the next day for the prototype. And how that works, step one is just called note. So everyone has a clipboard. Everyone's walking around the room. There's post-its stuck up everywhere of all the things we've done in the morning. And we just ask them to write. Just copy down some of the interesting things you've seen today. Just keep writing. Fill as many pages as you can in the next 15 minutes. Don't discuss with each other. Remind yourself about the scope of the project. Write it down. Really just keep writing, even if you're just copying everything that's on the wall. This starts to slowly get them into the mood for creation. The second step is, well, it's basically sketch or idea. In the book, it's called idea. And basically what we're doing now is asking them to keep writing. They don't stop, but start scribbling a couple of ideas. So for example, imagine what could the landing page look like? Even if we don't do the landing page, what might that look like? What might the home screen look like? Just start drawing a few boxes, getting them in the mood, even if they really, really don't like doing it. And there's always a facilitator in the design sprint. So if it's me, I'll be walking from person to person. And if somebody is not sketching, I'll say, hey, so this is something interesting you have here. Oh, that looks like it could be that's some sort of a user flow you're drawing there. Let's imagine what this screen actually looks like. And maybe you can draw it. And they're like, oh, I don't really like to draw. And it's like, just give it a go. No one's going to look at it. The important thing here is that nobody is going to look at anything because it's completely anonymous. And these notes are just for themselves. The third step is called crazy eights. And this is where we give them 8 minutes in total, but 1 minute per sketch to just start sketching some ideas, start turning some of these things into something digital, like, well, basically drawing screens or drawing websites or drawing whatever it is we're trying to create here. Test out some different ways of writing the copy. Extremely fast, extremely stressful, and it's supposed to just be a warm-up. And the fourth and final step is the three-part concept where we ask them, and by the way, if there's very businessy people in the room, I say, what you're going to do now is pretty much draw a 3-slide PowerPoint of your idea. And try to imagine if you were giving a PowerPoint, you'd probably have a few images in there as well to explain your idea. So let's say if you're drawing if we were working on an app, I want them to draw out what does the home screen look like? What's the next main screen look like? What is, like, draw your idea, show us what could be a solution to what we're trying to work on here today. And by the time they even get to that point, they've already been writing and sketching for 2 hours, and they're much more ready to put their ideas on paper. And I've been running, I think, 230 sprints now over the last 3 years. And I can promise you, I can promise you, even the most businessy people who hate designers and hate to draw, they will draw and they can do it. And sometimes their concepts are even better than the designer's concepts, because in the end, it's all anonymous. Nobody knows who did what. And the selecting of the best ideas that happens on the next day, you don't know who actually created those ideas. So it's really, really interesting when it turns out that, you know, Dave from sales actually had one of the most interesting solutions. It's often the case that it's a combination of a very businessy solution and a very designy solution that comes out as the best thing.
So the idea, the goal here is to extract all kinds of ideas from all stakeholders on the project and then pick the best ones. That's brilliant.
Without them discussing with each other, because what happens is, put yourself into one of these rooms. Anyone who's listening to this podcast, this has happened to you. You're sitting in a room and we're brainstorming. What happens is that the loudest person wins, or the person who's the best at sales pitches wins. Or you just get tired, and even if you think you have a great idea, you just give up and give it to somebody else, because talking really makes people tired. And the problem is as well, if we decided to co-create, and if we decided to have everybody work together in a big group and just talk, we basically would come out at the end of the day with one direction. At the end of this day, at the end of our sprints, we come out with 8 completely different things that people have not checked each other's, right? So the next day we have a lot more variety, a mixture of the stakeholders, a mixture of the designers, a mixture of everybody's ideas, and you really get to choose from something. It's not just the same thing drawn out 8 times.
So you mentioned a very, very detailed scenario of what exactly is happening and what the tools are used there. Is the same kind of scenario available for every stage?
Yeah, absolutely. So every single part of the sprint, there's no guessing. The important thing to understand is that the goal of the sprint is to give you a process so that you don't have to think about the process. You can actually think about the challenge you're working on. There's no moment during the sprint where you have to guess what's going to happen next. And that was always my problem when I was a UX designer going into these kickoff meetings with clients. I always kind of came up with something new or a new way of doing it, or I tried different things based on the mood in the room. And now I just don't think about it. We had a video game company at our office yesterday. They had a very big challenge. And in the past, I would have tried loads of different things and probably it would have been a nightmare. But I was just able to plug in some of the exercises that we use in the sprint process and get through the day without it turning into a giant chaotic nightmare.
Where is that documented? Do people go and read the book to get all these activities and scenarios to follow?
Yeah, so there's a lot of ways to do it. We like basically the book I can definitely recommend reading for, you know, what is the idea behind the sprint. By the way, I should also make it clear, I don't get any money if you buy the book, so I'm not advertising it, but I think it's a very good book and it really helped me when I read it. So Jake's book is definitely worth reading. It really lays out the full thing, the mindsets behind it and the reasons why it exists. Our YouTube channel has probably more than 100 hours of free content on how to run this stuff yourself. You should definitely check that out. It's AJ and Smart. We're putting up videos every single week about how to run design sprints, answering all the questions, the Q&As. Also, we do have a paid option, which is basically, if you're actually looking to run sprints yourself and make money with it, I guess I would say, if you want to make it part of your business, we do have an online course which shows you literally everything you can use to run this sort of thing with clients.
And I also know that you have a special discount code for our listeners.
Of course. Yeah. So you can use the code UIBreakfast. If you go to ajsmart.com/masterclass and you get €500 off the license for the masterclass.
Oh, thank you so much. But we're not wrapping it. I have one important question. What is the workflow for remote teams?
Yeah, so first thing I would recommend is not to start off your sprint experience with a remote sprint, because it is more difficult to run. I just wouldn't recommend that the first time you try this, it's remote. However, we have done a lot of remote design sprints. We released a product this year called Oak Meditation that was 100% remotely created. And what we did was essentially we created templates for all the exercises in real-time board. It's like realtimeboard.com. It's a piece of software, I guess. I don't know if it's free. Maybe it's free. And basically, we ran the entire sprint live in real-time board. However, we had one problem. Our client was in San Francisco, so we were on a different time zone. So a lot of this stuff actually had to happen asynchronously. So we would do some of the exercises during our time. And then it was like a long, like a game of chess that happens over a few hours. So in the daytime, we did our exercises. In the nighttime, he did his exercises, him and his team. It's just not an ideal scenario to run a remote sprint. It does work. You can actually, we did a video on YouTube. If you search remote design sprint, there's a video from start to finish of how we made this product using remote sprints. It's more difficult, I have to admit, but it does also work.
We actually had someone from Real Time Board here in the podcast quite a while ago, so I'm going to link to that in the show notes. It's a great tool, I've heard.
Oh, cool. Yeah, it's really great.
For our listeners who have never tried, so one piece of advice is not start remotely,
yeah,
preferably. And any other pitfalls they should avoid, any other brief advice, key advice that you would give personally to these people?
Don't try to skip the user tests the first time you run a design sprint. A lot of people have it's the number one problem that happens when someone runs a sprint for the first time is that they get to the end of Tuesday and they're so excited and so convinced about the design sprint that it helped them find the product direction and exactly what they wanted to do that they say, and this happens when a client comes to us as well. They're like, you know what? This is it. Like, we don't need to even do the user tests. Like, totally, it's totally fine. Let's just skip them. This is amazing. This is what we're going to build. And then I always say, this will be the biggest mistake you ever made. Let's really put this in front of real people. You always find that you were only 50% right about what you wanted to do. And it's very important to get to the end of the sprint and really do the user testing. And yeah, a lot of people are skipping it, even in some of the very, very big companies who are running these sprints, but they always regret it.
You were almost reading my mind because I was about to say that we could use some of that ourselves in our product and, probably the first couple days scenario.
You can do that. You can definitely do that. And we have created a couple of exercises to do half-day sprints. So you can search for an exercise called Lightning Decision Jam on YouTube, and you can really find some shorter versions. But I would not do this for the first time because you won't see the power of the sprint. And especially if you're working with clients or other people, if you're just doing it for yourself, you can do whatever you want. But if you're doing it for people who have control over whether this product happens or not, then you should be careful.
That's great, great advice. Thank you so much for all the wisdom and for sharing the process with us today.
No problem.
I hope the conversation is a great starter for people to use this process themselves.
Great. Yeah. Thanks a lot for having me on the show. It was really lovely.
What about yourself personally? Where can people find you online and your agency, and how can they follow you?
Okay. So basically, I'm only on Instagram at J Ice Cream. That's the letter J and the word ice cream. And also, I have a weekly podcast every Monday with the creator of the Design Sprint. It's actually not like this show. It's a lot more stupid. We have no format. We have no topics. Every week, it's pretty. Every week, it's basically just myself and Jake talking about what's going on and our client work and stuff like that. So it's more like a very quite a long form conversation. Sometimes we have guests, but it's very I would say it's like mostly entertainment. So don't come there if you're looking to learn a lot, but it's a fun design a fun silly design show.
I'm sure you're mostly kidding. So if you want to learn from Jonathan and Jake Knapp, follow their podcast.
The Product Breakfast Club, it's called.
Okay, so we do have a lot in common, and even name is similar.
Yeah.
Well, thank you once again. Thank you so much, and have a wonderful day.